Good morning. So my guest this morning is the Marshallese spoken word poet, teacher, and activist Kathy Jetnell Kizner, who recently relocated to Portland. And with us today in the studio also is her daughter, Matefele, who is the subject of one of Kathy's most well-known poems. Kathy's writing and performances have been featured in or by CNN, Democracy Now!, Mother Jones, The Huffington Post, NBC News, National Geographic, Nobel Women's Initiative, and even Vogue magazine. Kathy co-founded the youth climate summit change nonprofit, Joe Jigum, dedicated to empowering Marshallese youth to seek solutions to climate change. In 2014, she was selected from among more than 500 nominees from 115 countries to open the COP20, or the UN Conference of the Parties, the climate summit in Paris. She's just published her first book of poems entitled Poems from a Marshallese Daughter. In a promotional blurb for the book, Alice Walker writes that the book is to be read slowly, savored, admired for its precision of language and emotion. You can find more information about the book and about Kathy's work at kathyjetnellkizner.com. Kathy, thanks so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks for having me.
So I just want to mention that in another promotional blurb for the book, Craig Santos Perez writes that in the stunning debut collection, Kathy Jetnell Kizner weaves a basket of poems that carry the beauty, depth, and resiliency of her Marshallese culture. Through lyrical, narrative, and visual modes, the poet gives voice to how nuclear testing, migration, racism, and climate change have impacted her family and her people. At the same time, she offers a vision of hope that the future will be a place in which our children and humanity itself will thrive. And I think that's really true of your poem, Dear Matefele Pinam, which I think we're going to start out by asking you to read.
Yeah, sure. So this is a poem that I wrote for my daughter. Her name is Matefele Pinam Kathy Makirusa. Her first name is Matefele, and Pinam is her Marshallese name. So I'll just go ahead and do it right now. Dear Matefele Pinam, you are a seven-month-old sunrise of gummy smiles. You are bald as an egg and bald as a Buddha. Your thighs that are thunder, shrieks that are lightning, so excited for bananas, hugs, and our morning walks along the lagoon. Dear Matefele Pinam, I want to tell you about that lagoon, that lucid, sleepy lagoon lounging against the sunrise. Men say that one day that lagoon will devour you. They say it will gnaw at the shoreline, chew at the roots of your breadfruit trees, gulp down rows of seawalls, and crunch through your island's shattered bones. They say you, your daughter, and your granddaughter, too, will wander, rootless, with only a passport to call home. Dear Matefele Pinam, don't cry. Mommy promises you no one will come and devour you. No greedy whale of a company sharking through political seas. No backwater bullying of businesses with broken morals. No blindfolded bureaucracy gonna push this mother ocean over the edge. No one's drowning, baby. No one's moving. No one's losing their homeland. No one's gonna become a climate change refugee. Or should I say, no one else. To the Cardroid Islanders of Papua New Guinea and to the Taro Islanders of the Solomon Islands, I take this moment to apologize to you. We are drawing the line here because we, baby, are going to fight. Your mommy, daddy, bubu, jima, your country, and your president too, we will all fight. And even though there are those hidden behind platinum titles who like to pretend that we don't exist, who like to pretend that the Marshall Islands, Tuvalu, Kiribati, Maldives, Typhoon Haiyan in the Philippines, the floods of Algeria, Colombia, Pakistan, and all the earthquakes and hurricanes and tidal waves didn't exist, still, there are those who see us, hands reaching out, fists raising up, banners unfurling, megaphones booming, and we are canoes blocking coal ships. We are the radiance of solar villages. We are the fresh, clean soil of the farmer's past. We are petitions blooming from teenage fingertips. We are families biking, recycling, reusing, engineers dreaming, designing, building, artists painting, dancing, writing, and we are spreading the word. And there are thousands out on the street marching hand in hand, chanting for change now, and they're marching for you, baby. They're marching for us. Because we deserve to do more than just survive. We deserve to thrive. Dear Matefele Pinam, you are eyes heavy with drowsy weight, so just close those eyes and sleep in peace. Because we won't let you down. You'll see. Thanks.
Thank you. It's an incredibly powerful poem. And you read it at the climate summit with a video backdrop that really showed both kind of the intensity of the effects of climate change on frontline communities, as well as the hopefulness of the organizing and the
movement. Yeah.
Right. So I'm really intrigued by the way that you managed to both tackle some really traumatic material that deals not just with climate change, but with atomic testing and its effects on the Marshall Islands, but also kind of bring hope to that material. Can you talk a little bit about your process?
Well, honestly, it is really traumatizing to have to relive all of these experiences over and over to write the poetry. But I think the act of writing it itself, speaking to these traumas, you know, naming names, that's actually a really healing aspect of poetry. That's something that can really kind of help you grow as a person and help you understand the issue on another level. You know, I think poetry makes you slow down and makes you meditate on every moment. And that's what poetry does to these issues, is that it makes them smaller. You know, climate change is such a big global event, but poetry forces you to look, to zoom in, to feel that one moment, you know, that one emotion of loss. And that can actually be a really healing process.
And I think you said that you got some of your training as a spoken word artist in the Bay Area with the program that was really directed toward kind of spoken word and activism. Can you?
Yeah, I like to credit a lot of the way that I think about my writing with Poetry for the People program, June Jordan's Poetry for the People program at UC Berkeley. So I was a part of that program for like about 3 years or so, and it was I think 2 or 3 years. And the whole point of the program is that poetry should do more than just, you know, talk about a daffodil or something like that. Poetry needs to speak to a movement. Poetry needs to have a purpose. Poetry needs to ride the bus, right? It needs to be the lived experiences of who we are, but also who our people are, what we're going through on a daily basis. And so, you know, I try to bring that into each of my poetry, into each of my poems.
Yeah. And I know you said that you'd been away a little bit from the Marshall Islands, whether that was your undergraduate training or working with this Bay Area program. And you went back to the Marshall Islands after not having been there for a while and were really struck by how climate change had accelerated.
Yeah. So I had been living away from the Marshall Islands for about 18 years. So that's it's a huge culture shock to come home. I mean, I came back pretty frequently for like summer vacations, but it was never really for an extended period of time until I completed my undergraduate program at Mills College in Oakland, California, which is where I was studying at Poetry for the People. And, it was, you know, when I heard climate change as like this distant issue in the back of my mind, but it wasn't until I got there that, you know, you see how small the island is. It's like as big as this, some islands are as big as this studio. There's ocean on either side of you. It's completely flat, only 2 meters above sea level. And so, you know, you just realize, first of all, how big the ocean is, and then second of all, how vulnerable you are and your people are and your islands are.
And you talked even about some of the cemeteries at this point kind of being swallowed up by the ocean.
Mm-hmm. There's, luckily they've built some seawalls to protect those cemeteries. But, in the beginning there was quite a few cemeteries that were getting washed into the ocean. And people say, well, why don't you just put them more inland? It's like, there's nowhere else to go. You know, you can't go any further inland. So it is definitely, you know, people talk about climate change as this distant future issue, but it's definitely happening right now.
Yeah. I know I heard you in the past talk a little bit about some of the nuclear waste that's stored also in the vicinity of the Marshall Islands, and that's also at sea level.
Yes. So the U.S. tested about over 60 nuclear weapons in our islands, and then they took a bunch of the waste and put it into a crater where one of our islands used to be, but it was like blown off the map. And so they put it into the crater and then kind of shoveled it in there and then put a concrete cement dome over it. But now, because of the rising sea level, there's cracks in this dome, and it's like these radioactive waste is sort of leaking into the ocean. So there's quite a few issues that, you know, we're dealing with back home. Definitely. Yeah.
And it sounds like the Marshall Islands is the site of a pretty dramatic cancer cluster and higher rates of cancer than?
Yeah, we would say so. I mean, we have pretty high rates of cancer throughout related to the nuclear testing. Yeah, for sure.
And I know you wrote a very powerful poem to your niece who died of cancer at age 6.
Yeah, I have two pieces that are dedicated to Bianca. And it was just sort of a way to, poetry can sometimes definitely be about speaking to a movement and, you know, inciting change. But sometimes it's also just about processing grief, processing loss, the relationships around you. And so that's what it became for me. I wrote about Bianca to process my grief, but then I also wrote about it to sort of reflect on the effects of the nuclear testing that lived to today. Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder would you be willing to read that poem for us this morning?
Oh.
If you don't have it with you, that's okay. Yeah. You also spoke the other day at Washington State University, Vancouver, and you were talking also about some of the really kind of pressing, other really pressing health issues within the Marshall Islands, including, for example, diabetes as a result of, some of the events that unfolded during World War II and the occupation of the islands and people being cut off from traditional food sources. And I know you're really concerned also about the impact of eliminating the Affordable Care Act on people with diabetes and other health issues in the Marshall Islands.
Yeah, Micronesians are coming into the U.S., under the Compact of Free Association, which allows us, pretty free movement into the U.S. And so there's a small population of us out here. To us, it's quite a bit, but, I think to Americans, we're still a very small population, unnoticeable. But, we have access, according to our treaty, we should have access to healthcare, but we're coming across a lot of issues with it, because they see us as a burden, and they don't want to pay for, the amount of healthcare that we're needing. But that's completely entirely unfair in my opinion, especially considering the legacy of nuclear testing and, what's under the compact. Yeah.
Right. So these are really the effects, the health effects of U.S. imperialism.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah. And you also wrote a poem pretty recently about some of the fallout of the Trump presidency and some of the issues that raises in terms of this critical period that we're in for dealing with climate change and, the fact that that's a significant setback.
Yes, I think that's the poem that I wrote about healthcare too, actually. Yeah, so I wrote it for the Honolulu Biennial, which is an art festival out in Hawaii, and it's only the second one that they've had. And so it talks about our access to healthcare, our nuclear legacy, and then it also talks about a Marshallese legend about a demon, actually. This concept of a demon that, because there's a legend about a demon where the man dies in the poem and is eaten by the demon because he speaks the demon's name. And so in the poem, I talk about that experience of being kind of an immigrant and being growing up and being taught not to, not to make waves, to stay under the radar, to not speak out. And, and it ends with that line, like, the demon won't eat you if it doesn't hear you. And that concept of being an immigrant out here and wanting to stay under the radar. So, Trump and his, and all of the, everything that's happening, you don't get noticed in a sense, right? So, yeah, that's what it was basically speaking on.
Yeah, yeah. I'm reminded of Audre Lorde's quote about, your silence will not save you. And clearly your poetry is a testimony to your commitment to speaking out.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned also that the UN Climate Summit sort of came as something of surprise, the fact that you were ultimately chosen from more than 500 nominees, and you had about 2 weeks to write your poem for the summit.
Yeah, yeah, it was crazy. So I sort of didn't know that I was getting what I was getting into when they nominated me, the U.S. ambassador at the time, and Tom Armbruster. And he was really nice to, he had seen my poem video, Tell Them, which is another poem on climate change before. And then he, decided, oh, why don't I just nominate her? And so, I hear back later and there's like, oh, we've narrowed it down from 500 entries to 50. Would you send in a video explaining why I should be chosen? So I said, okay, sure. So I did the video and I really had no idea how competitive it was. And then, I get a phone call later and they're like, oh, this is from, so Susan from the, United Nations, we narrowed it down from 50 to 4 speakers. You definitely have a speaking role in this UN summit. And I said, oh, that's great. At least I get to talk. And then the next call was like, you're the one opening in front of 150 world leaders. You're following, Leonardo DiCaprio. And I've talked about this event a lot because it was such a life-changing event and it was such a crazy ride. So then I had 2 weeks to write this completely new poem to the climate movement. And they told me, it needs to speak to the climate movement. It needs to speak to the world leaders. It needs to speak to the world, and it needs to save the world, basically, which was just crazy at the time,
Yeah, I don't think most people think about poetry as something that would save the world, but I think you make a really good case for it.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Do we have time for you to read your poem, Tell Them?
Yeah. Oh, okay. I can just do like the last stanza. How about that?
Go for it.
Okay. So basically the poem is about, you know, sending a basket to my friends in the States and what I want them to know and the beauty of the Marshall Islands. And then it ends with these lines. It, after telling you about all these different aspects of my culture, it ends with these lines. Tell them we're little girls with braids cartwheeling beneath the rain. Tell them we are shards of broken beer bottles burrowed beneath fine white sand. Tell them we are children flinging like rubber bands across a road clogged with chugging cars. Tell them we only have one road. And after all this, tell them about the water, how we have seen it rising, flooding across our cemeteries, gushing over our seawalls, and crashing against our homes. Tell them what it's like to see the entire ocean level with the land. Tell them we are afraid. Tell them we don't know of the science or the politics, but tell them we see what's in our own backyard. Tell them some of us are older fishermen who believe that God made us a promise. Tell them some of us are a little bit more skeptical. But most importantly, you tell them that we don't want to leave, that we've never wanted to leave, and that we are nothing without our islands. Thank you.
Thanks. That's so powerful. Yeah. So my guest today has been poet, Marshallese poet, Kathy Jetnell Kijenar. And a number of your poems are available on YouTube, right?
Yeah, they're available on YouTube. And I just released my book, Yip Jelduk, Poems from a Marshallese Daughter, which can be found on Amazon.
And you've just recently relocated to Portland. So
yes,
we are so thrilled to have you here.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much. So this has been Desiree Helligers for the Old Mole Variety Hour.